to Lyme Dialogues, the podcast about Lyme disease. My name is Angela Knight. I'm a journalist who has had Lyme disease, and I've been raising awareness for over a quarter of a century. Today, my guest is Olivia Goodrow, the author of But She Looks Fine, about her heartbreaking struggle with Lyme disease from the age of seven. Olivia has achieved a lot. At the age of 12, she was invited to Washington and to the White House, where her Tick Tracker app won a competition. She also founded the Live Lyme Foundation, which funds treatment for children with Lyme. Olivia is now 20. She was brought up in Colorado and is now a student in Los Angeles at UCLA, the University of California. Welcome to Lyme Dialogues, Olivia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First of all, can you describe what kind of a girl you were before you became ill? In your book, you describe yourself as a fearless mutton buster. Can you explain?
Yes, I was definitely a fearless kid, I would say. I loved getting dirty. I was super active and trying new things all the time. And my parents said that I was fearless. And the mutton busting part is a thing, especially in Colorado at the Western Stock Show. And more or less, it's where seven-year-olds will get put on the back of a sheep and they have to ride the sheep across the stadium and not fall off in order to win. And so I did that one year and I practiced on my dad. He would get on all fours and I would get on top of him and he would try to get me off. And I feel like that was a really great moment to really show how I was super fearless and just, you know, ready to have fun and try new things.
And you won a trophy for it.
I did. Yes, I did. I won a trophy. And at the time it was taller than me.
And where do you think you were first bitten?
I think that I was first bitten at the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. I believe that I was out chasing fireflies and I probably strayed too close to the forest edge. And normally we don't go in the forest because there's snakes and poison ivy. But I believe that, you know, maybe there's a branch or some tall grass that swept over into the driveway that I brushed past.
And what were your first symptoms?
Well, it didn't start for a while. A couple weeks after the trip had ended, then I started to feel sick. And it presented itself as, you know, typical cold and flu symptoms. And nothing too serious at that time. But then it started to get worse. And, you know, my teacher started noticing that I was having a really hard time in school, whether that was through energy or keeping up in general. And that's when we decided to go to the doctors because I started having more flu-like symptoms. I had body aches, brain fog. I started to lose my vision. And that was a really big indicator that, you know, something was wrong and this wasn't just, you know, a stomach bug that you could get in the second grade.
Yes, and you saw over 50 doctors in your first year of being ill. That must have been very frightening for you and your family.
Yes, I did see over 50 doctors on the course of 18 months before I was diagnosed by my 51st doctor. And yeah, it was frightening. I was 8 years old, turning nine at the time. And, you know, all the other kids weren't doing this. They were going off on spring break or, you know, having to worry about tests. And I was having to worry about the next procedure and medical test that I was going to face. And I felt like, you know, these doctors, they didn't ask me what was wrong. More or less, they just looked at my charts in order to, you know, decide what they were going to do next. And not a lot of them, you know, really talked to me and sat down and, you know, introduced themselves to me.
You still went to school and often had some frightening symptoms. You kept blacking out and temporarily losing your sight. Did you know what was wrong with you at that time?
No. So, as I talked about earlier, that was one of the key signs that we had to go to the hospital in the first place. I didn't know exactly what that was called at the time. I feel like no second grader should know what a blackout is. So I just, you know, kept on telling my mom. I was like, the curtains are coming up. The curtains are closing. Like, I keep on losing my vision. Everything's going black. I can still hear. and, feel and smell, but my sight was just totally gone for moments at a time.
And each of the doctors you saw usually suggested that you are dehydrated or that the illness was in your head and you were attention seeking, and then they'd refer you to someone else. How did this make you feel?
Well, as I talked about earlier, that was kind of the hard part, was that, they looked at my charts and, at first they thought that I was dehydrated because I'm from Colorado, which is a high altitude state. And then when, I was pumped with fluids and practically drowned from the inside out, they were like, "Oh, we have to do some more tests." So they thought that it was Wilson's disease, which is a terrible genetic disorder to where you die at a very young age. So, they sat my parents down and they said, "She's not going to live long like the other kids." And then when the DNA test came back saying that it wasn't Wilson's disease, they thought maybe it was late stage autism, which came back negative. And then they finally thought that I had Munchausen syndrome, which is the illness of making up illness for attention.
Yeah. And after a 4 week course of antibiotics, you actually felt better, but then you relapsed. You saw several more doctors, and you were told you were going to have to just live with it and get on with your life. But your mother told you, you're going to get better if we have to fly to the moon.
Yes, she did. She
Brilliant.
did say that.
You were 11 and things started to change for you after the Lyme challenge. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, with the Lyme disease challenge, I have been doing my own research and I discovered it. And, that was kind of my, I guess, first step into the Lyme disease world. And so I did the Lyme challenge and I challenged, all of my friends to do it. And it, got actually some traction. And then, I started doing more research because I wanted to figure out, what were the kids with Lyme disease doing? Were they feeling just as bad as I was? Were they feeling worse? Were they feeling better? And then I came across a story about a mom and her son, and they were living in their car so they could afford the boy's Lyme disease medication. And that story really stuck with me. So I had the brilliant idea to start my own nonprofit called the Live Lyme Foundation. And my mom had been in nonprofits, and so had my grandma. My family in general had done a lot of things surrounding nonprofits and fundraising. So I had a tiny bit of knowledge beforehand, not a ton, but I had watched my mom work tirelessly for my middle school's nonprofit galas. And I think she was just about to, officially, pass that torch on to someone else. And I said, "Hey, I know that you just retired from doing fundraising and nonprofit work, but I want to start my own nonprofit and I want to call it the Live Lyme Foundation because my name is Liv and I'm living with Lyme disease." And then in January of 2017, I officially got the 501c3, and yeah, there you go.
Fantastic. It's an amazing achievement. And you're doing such a lot.
I'm so proud of it, and I am always proud of it every single day.
Yes, and you're giving funds to children who couldn't afford treatment for Lyme.
Yes, so I'm giving funds to children in, low-income areas who cannot afford their Lyme disease medication and other tick-borne illness medication. And on the other hand, I'm also giving grants to top scientists at institutions and universities from all over. That way we can find, an affordable, easy cure and potential treatments and tests.
Well, it's an amazing achievement. And you mentioned middle school. In the book, you say you were really badly bullied and there were some really mean girls there. But oddly enough, the title of your book was What the Bully Used to Say to You, But She Looks Fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people said that to me besides, that girl in middle school was, whenever I told them, I had this, crazy, chronic illness, they said, "Well, you look fine." As if that was, supposed to mean that, because I look fine, I don't have it. So I feel like it's a good, I guess, jab at, the world of invisible illnesses to where a lot of people out there look fine, but, in underneath their skin and their immune systems, they're really not.
Yes, exactly. Well, your mother was really persistent in her research for better treatment, and she discovered Dr. Horowitz, a Lyme specialist thousands of miles away in New York, and she was told that he had a 10-year waiting list, but your mother had an idea. So how did you get to see him?
Yes, so he had a 10,000 patient waiting list, and I was, on track to have my first visit by my freshman year of college. And my mom, she was like, "We cannot wait that long. Like, you will probably be in bed. You will drop out of school. Like, now is the time to go see this doctor." So she called the office and she said, "Hey, I heard that, Dr. Horowitz is coming out for a medical summit here in Colorado. If he needs a, chaperone and a chauffeur, I would be more than happy to help him out, since, I know the area." And, at first they're like, "Oh, come on, you're a crazy lady." And, eventually though, they did say yes. They said, "Actually, come pick him up. It'll be on a Friday. And just like immediately drop him off, don't talk to him about medical records, don't like kidnap him, just like take him to his destination." So my mom did. She did bring my medical records in the back seat though, just in case. And so, she was hoping that there was going to be tons of traffic since it was a Friday. And for whatever reason, there was no traffic whatsoever. So, she's driving as, slow as legally possible. And she's taking him to this conference area, and eventually they start talking, and she tells a story of how I got diagnosed, and he says, "You know what? Come have dinner with me, and I will look over your daughter's medical records." And so that happened, and then the next day I was invited to go watch him present at this conference, and we talked a little bit beforehand, and I was watching him present when all of a sudden he, was up on the stage and he said, "And now I would like to introduce my new friend, Olivia Goodrow, who's going to give a speech about her diagnosis." And I had no idea that that was going to happen. I think I had maybe 5 minutes of jotting a couple notes down on a napkin before I, was getting up and going, and that was my first ever exposure to public speaking and, the world of public speaking. And I want to say that I did a good job. I was probably, shaking and terrified and stuttering all over, but I feel like if Dr. Horowitz hadn't, pushed me to do that, I would not be at, the level of comfortability that I am when I public speak today. And he said, "You know what? I don't want you to skip these 10,000 people since, they're all equally deserving of a chance to get help." He was like, "How about you come out and see me on a Sunday when I don't work? And that way you won't skip anyone." And so I did, and the appointment lasted, I think, like 6 hours. And he went through every single medical record, and, he's looking and he's scoffing and he's laughing. And he's like, "Oh, the doctors missed this and this. Like, these were clear indicators." And he comes to the portion with the Munchausen syndrome, and he quite literally bangs his head on the wall. And he's like, "This is insane. I am so sorry." And at the end of that first appointment, he had also diagnosed me with Bartonella babesia, POTS syndrome, relapsing fever, and an anti-1 trypsin deficiency in my liver, which was all from that one tick that, 50 doctors missed everything.
Yes, and you were 12 at this time.
Yes, I was
Yes.
12 at this time.
And what kind of treatment did Dr. Horowitz give you in particular?
Well, he gave me a lot of treatments. I was on 86 pills a day, and I did IVIG, which is, donated immunoglobulins. That way, it can help boost my immune system. He calls it like a Gatorade for your immune system. It just, gives you energy to feel better and, fight infections more. And after each infusion, I felt energized. I felt amazing. And then, it would eventually like come down. So I had to do it every 2 weeks. But I was on a ton of different treatments. He was always switching it up, always trying new things, which I think was one of the greatest things about him was, he never stayed in the same place. He was always, finding better things and, wanting to try things different. And, if a medication didn't work, I wasn't on it, which was great. And so he was really, persistent and driven to, help me get better.
Fantastic. And you were also asked to speak at the US Department of Health in Washington for the Tick-Borne Disease Working Group, where you met US Air Force Colonel Nicole Malachowski, who had to retire as a jet pilot because of Lyme disease, and you both became friends.
Yes, so I want to say that I was 12 or 13, when I was invited to go speak. And I got up and I did my presentation, and that was actually the first time that, they had a timer. They had one of those time limits to where the bell would ring, once you were off your time limit. And I think that I was most of the way done with my speech, and then the bell rang. And so that like scared me a little bit because that was the first time I had ever heard that. And, I talked about, how my diagnosis was so hard and, how that's probably the case for all these other kids who, they just want to play and they're, being diagnosed with autism, or maybe their, doctors are just saying that they're not social, or that, kids do this, like it's just a phase. And so there's tons of other excuses that can be put on these poor kids, who just want to get better. And then Nicole Malachowski spoke after me, and we talked afterwards, and she is amazing. She is like a real life superhero. And she talked about, how she was going to talk about, the veterans and the people in the military who are medically discharged because of tick-borne illnesses, and how she was also going to talk a little bit about youth with tick-borne illnesses. But because I already talked about it, she just skipped that over entirely. She was like, "You said exactly what needed to be said. Now I'm just going to stick to the military for my speech." And ever since that day, we have been best friends. She also lives in Colorado, so I'll see her every now and then. And she is absolutely amazing and one of my closest friends.
That's lovely. And one of your first successful missions was to get a Tick Act passed. That's amazing.
Thank you. So this was in, I want to say, 2019. I was in eighth grade, and Senator Susan Collins had called me on my phone, which she does not have. I didn't give her my phone number. I don't know how she got my phone. Her secretary was like, "Hello, this is the office for Senator Susan Collins. This is Olivia Goodrow." And, I'm 14 years old, and I'm like, "Yes. Yeah, hi. How are you?" And they're like, "We need you to come down to Senator Susan Collins' office in like an hour, and we want to discuss with you the possibility of, trying to get this Kay Hagan Tick Act passed." So my mom and I, we rush over to her office, and I meet her, and she was absolutely incredible. And she's talking about the Kay Hagan Tick Act, because Senator Kay Hagan died of Powassan virus, which is a tick-borne disease. And so it was in her honor that the act was named after her. And this act was going to donate, I believe, $100 million to tick-borne disease research and funding for cures and treatments. And so I, went around to all the Congress and all the Senate and the House and the Senate. And I, knocked on every door, and I was like, "Hi, my name's Olivia Goodrow. Can I please speak to, this representative or this senator and this congressman?" And, I'm 14 years old, so I think that, they didn't expect me to come in with the amount of knowledge that I had. So they're like, "Oh, sure, like it's just, a little girl." And so I feel like, even there, in the government, I was a little bit, I don't know, underestimated. And so I would come in and they'd say, "Oh, how are you doing?" And I'd say, "Listen, I gotta talk to you about this. Like, let me tell you why." And I would just, hit them with all these facts. And, by the end of it, they were like, "Oh my gosh, this is really incredible." And so the Kay Hagan Tick Act passed, and Senator Susan Collins is on the floor in that moment. And she did mention the Live Lyme Foundation, which was so cool. And I was so happy. The fact that it could be mentioned on the floor was incredible. And so, yeah, there you go. The tick Act was passed, and I got to be a little part of it.
Well done. And it did mean that $150 million was awarded for research into tick-borne diseases because of that act.
Yes, it did.
And how did the tick tracker come about?
Tick Tracker came about when I was 13 years old, and I was back in the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, and people might be wondering, why would you ever be back there? And we had a family home there, and it was very, dear to our family. And it was like a big gathering spot for all of our family and cousins and grandparents who, were in the state. And my dog, we, let him out to, run around, and he came back, and he was acting really, really strange. And he kept on itching all over. He was pretty lethargic. And so I, looked around, and I was like, man, he has a lot of freckles. I didn't know how many freckles he had. And I looked closer, and I realized that the freckles could come off, and they were all ticks. So my dog had 200 poppy seed ticks all up and down his legs. So, this was late at night too. So my mom rushed him to the vet to get them all off. And, all of us good girls are showering and cleaning the house because our dog is, we love our dog. And he was able to, get on the couch and get on the bed. And we were like, oh my gosh, like there's ticks everywhere, probably. So it wasn't until midnight when my mom got back with our poor Mo. And I had the random idea. I was like, what if there was a way to see what ticks are in your area in real time? And, is there a way to do that already? And it was a terrible time to ask her because, we were all still freaking out about it. But the next morning, we did our research. And, besides the maps from the CDC and a couple other maps, there was no way to accurately see what ticks were in your area. And it was all just, maps of previous years, which somewhat helps. But I was like, there has to be a more accurate way, and there wasn't. So 8 months later, and with the help of an amazing app developing team out in Ohio, we developed Tick Tracker, which is a free multilingual global app that lets you see what ticks are in your area in real time using geolocation.
Well done. That's amazing. Is there another app that you've devised called the Long Haul Tracker?
Yes, so this app is much more recent, and this was actually due to COVID, because COVID-19 happened, the entire world got shut down, especially in the Lyme disease world. We're still kind of recovering from it because all of us are immune compromised. So it's a little bit hard to do in-person events. And so my mom and I, we were looking at symptoms for people with COVID, and especially this long haul COVID that started to emerge, and we realized that they were really similar to symptoms with people who had chronic Lyme disease. And at first we were going to do a symptom tracker for just people with tick-borne illnesses. But after COVID, came and settled, we decided to do a symptom tracker for all illnesses. So the Long Haul Tracker is a free tracking app that allows you to track any range of symptoms from any illness. And then you can put that into the app and it'll show you your progress with, easy and user-friendly graphs. That way you can visually see your progress, and if you're getting better, it brings hope. But if you realize that you're getting worse, maybe that you need you need different treatment, you need to, change something up, or go to the doctor again. The long haul tracker also allows you to share your information with parents, family members, friends of your choosing, and also your healthcare providers. So that way, by the tap of a phone, you can, send all your information to your healthcare provider. Because something that I noticed was, having a chronic illness and having just like, constant symptoms that vary all the time, a doctor would ask me, "Hey, how are you feeling last week?" And I would say, "I was feeling okay, but last week," if he was like, "Hey, how are you feeling right now?" I could say, "Oh, I have body aches here. I'm sore here. My neck hurts here." So we really wanted to have something to be able to, carry on that, I guess, nitty-gritty details in case, someone forgets that, they were feeling that way.
And how do you get hold of the trackers?
Oh, you can download them on the App Store. They're available on iPhones and Androids, and they're free to download. All you have to do is look up Tick Tracker or look up the Long Haul Tracker. And we even have our own emojis, thanks to Colonel Nicole Malachowski's idea. And those are called Tickmojis, which you can download. Those are all free and they're all educational. And I would highly recommend it because it doesn't hurt to have that on your phone in case, randomly one day you come across a tick bit you or your dog. It would be really nice to have that app on your phone just so you're prepared.
Really good, yes. You've achieved so much already. I'm curious to know what you're doing at the moment and what your plans are for the future.
Well, at the moment, I am in college right now. I'm at UCLA. So right now I am in a lounge in my dorm building. I am, surviving college classes and, dealing with that. And I actually want to briefly mention that in January of 2023, Dr. Horwitz put me on the Dapsone treatment, which is a 100-year-old leprosy drug. And so I was on 42 pills a day for 9 weeks, and that put me into remission. So right now I am in remission. I have never felt better in my entire life, and I am so thankful that it happened when it did, because right now I am enjoying college to the fullest, and I am taking my major is public health as of now. So I'm taking public health courses that talk about epidemiology and health policy, and I love every second of it. And so that's what I'm currently doing right now. It would not, be as good as it is if it wasn't for Dr. Horowitz's treatment that he put me on. And I would recommend it to anyone because, I went from, feeling 60% better to 96% better. And this is the best I've ever felt since I was way back in second grade. So since 12 years of me being sick. And, right now I'm just doing my college courses and I'm having a great time. I'm meeting new friends from all around the United States and all around the world. And, I'm doing online meetings like this and podcasts. So I'm still doing live line work just from a little bit farther away. And then in the future, I am planning to go to the CDC headquarters to have a meeting with them. And I believe there's also some potential trips planned for New Mexico and for some other amazing places that, want to talk about tick-borne illnesses. I'll have to keep you updated about that because, everything's changing. But as of now, I think that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's amazing. It's certainly well needed, especially at the CDC.
Yes, definitely.
I have to say, you do look fine.
Now I feel fine too, so it kind of works.
Yes. Well, I'm full of admiration for you and your family's perseverance to get yourself better. And you've made an enormous difference to Lyme sufferers through your Live Lyme Foundation and your apps. I'm sure you've got a great future ahead of you, and thank you so much for speaking to Lyme Dialogues.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Lovely to meet you. Olivia Goodrow's book, But She Looks Fine, can be ordered online or through bookshops. The Tick Tracker and the Long Haul Tracker apps can be downloaded free from the internet. You can contact Olivia's foundation at the website livelymefoundation.org. If you know anyone with Lyme disease who would be interested in listening to this interview, please share this podcast. And if you'd like to tell me your Lyme story, do email thelymedialogues@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Lyme Dialogues. Until next time, take care. Goodbye.